hearty seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
As we look back at the year in sports, the spotlight shone brightly on Brazil in August, specifically the coastal city of Rio de Janeiro. That's where the games of the 31st Olympiad were held. More than 11,000 athletes from 205 countries competed. The United States dominated the medal table, winning a total of 121 medals, 46 gold, 37 silver, and 38 bronze. This marked the first Olympics held in South America. Ed Hula is the founder and editor of the Olympic website, AroundTheRings.com. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2016, let's listen in again to the interview Ed did with my VOA colleague Victor Beatty during the closing ceremonies in Rio. Ed said wet weather couldn't dampen the festive atmosphere.
The games have finished with a glorious ending for Brazil on a unfortunately rainy night. But besides little problems, nothing big, nothing bad. And Rio, I think, has proved that it could host its version, a version of the Olympic Games.
What lessons could possibly be learned from some of the small problems, the organizational mishaps, ticket fiascos, green water, street crime?
Well, you never know what will happen. You have to be prepared for a little bit of everything. To me, the biggest lesson for these Olympics is the scale, the distance required to go from one event to another, the time that you spend in transit going to events. And I think that might have helped make it more difficult for them to fill some of these stadiums for the events. The difficulty, the hassle factor, if you will, of trying to get to Olympic events.
What were the highlights as far as athletic competition?
There are highlights just about every day of the games. The first full day of competition, Brazil wins its first gold medal in judo. And events like that that have favored the home country are really important. Brazil avenged its World Cup humiliation against Germany in the gold medal round of men's football. An incredible experience as Brazil wins the men's volleyball gold medal. Really, the whole city erupted in a collective cheer when the final point was scored. The highlights are really revolving around sport competition here in Rio, much more so than the nagging problems that they've had.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Certainly, Usain Bolt and what he did, it happened here in Rio, and it's something that it will take years, if it ever happens again, to complete that 3-in-a-row gold medal.
Ed, were you surprised that the Americans seem to dominate the medal standings?
No, not at all, but I think they've done a lot better than maybe they had thought they would originally. The final match of the basketball tournament was the United States playing Serbia, and they really put it to the Serbs, who were clearly the underdogs in that contest. The Americans didn't win everything, but they did a very, very strong performance here, and I think they're pleased with the way that's come out for the United States.
Ed, it's on to Tokyo. What can we expect there?
Well, Tokyo is going to be sort of a similar kind of canvas to Rio de Janeiro in some ways. Venues are spread all around Tokyo. For example, cycling is about a two-hour commute from the center of Tokyo. With the addition of five more sports, that's a 33-sport program that will be a challenge for journalists to cover. But on the other hand, you look at these five new sports for Tokyo, and I think that's going to be one of the most anticipated games in a long time. We'll have the addition of surfing, skateboard, sport climbing, cool stuff like that that is supposed to jazz up the Olympic program.
That's Ed Hula, the founder and editor of the Olympic website, AroundTheRings.com. And Ed was talking with my VOA colleague Victor Beatty from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Ed Hula mentioned Jamaica's Olympic star Usain Bolt. Bolt and Ethiopian distance runner Almaz Ayana were named the IAAF's Male and Female Athletes of the Year during ceremonies in Monaco. In another sunny side of sports highlight for 2016, let's take a look at some of their achievements. The 25-year-old Almaz won two medals at this year's Rio Olympics in Brazil, a gold in the 10,000 meters and a bronze in the 5,000 meters. In the 10,000 meters, Almaz Ayana ran the fastest time ever by a woman, 29 minutes and 17.45 seconds, smashing the previous world record by more than 14 seconds. The 30-year-old Lightning Bolt, meanwhile, won the Male Athlete of the Year award for a record sixth time. In Rio, Bolt duplicated his achievements from the 2012 Olympics in London and the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, winning gold in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100-meter team relay. As the world record holder at both 100 meters and 200 meters, Usain Bolt is regarded by most people, including yours truly, as the greatest sprinter in history. The Lightning Bolt is planning to retire next year after the World Championships in London. The Jamaican star was asked at the awards ceremony in Monaco what he'll miss after he hangs up his track spikes for good.
Definitely competing. I love competing. I dream of just being in the stadiums, competing against the best for me. So that's one thing I'll miss, and the crowd, the energy that I feel, and the chills that I get when I walk into a stadium and I do that first stride out and they go up in just loud noise, that chill that I get, I'll miss that the most.
Meanwhile, Usain Bolt told the crowd in Monaco that he hasn't ruled out a career in the movies.
I think I'd definitely be a great action star.
Yes.
I see myself. You know what I mean? Like a next
Bond.
Jason Bourne.
What about James Bond?
I'm not a Bond guy, you know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I'm more of an aggressor, you know what I mean? Jason Stratham type of thing, okay. You know what I mean?
Usain Bolt is quite comfortable in front of the cameras doing his Lightning Bolt pose and other stunts. So who knows? Maybe he will become an action star in the movies. And he's also starring in a new documentary, I Am Bolt, which looks at his record-breaking career. The Lightning Bolt attended the premiere in London and talked about what the film shows.
Concept of me is that, oh, you're saying it's easy for you, saying it's no stress. You know what I mean? That's what most people always say to me when they see me, like, oh, you make it look so easy, but it's not. So I wanted to make people see what I went through to get to where I'm at today. You know what I mean? And for me, these guys, they really captured that for me. And it was, when I watched the movie, it was so good because I could feel all emotions throughout everything. Like I was reliving my life again when I was watching that, and that's why I was really so pleased about what they have done, because they captured everything that I wanted them to capture. And I'm knowing that when people watch this, they will feel the same way that I'm feeling, and that's what I wanted people to see: the struggles, the pain, the triumph, and just the stress that I've been through. And then I have more insights also on my life, because most people feel like what I do and I act weird and goofy on the camera, they feel like I'm pretending, I'm acting, but that's how I genuinely am when I'm by myself or just chilling with my friends. That's just who I am as a person.
Also attending the premiere of the I Am Bolt documentary in London was the 9-time Olympic champion's mother, Jennifer Bolt.
As a child, you know, he started from a very early age showing that he was interested in running. Not that we really had known that, but because of how he used to, because he was very energetic, yes. And so he'd keep running, you know, and I would have to be running after him. So from there and then we realized that there some athletics in his blood.
That's Jennifer Bolt, the mother of Jamaican superstar Usain Bolt, speaking in London at the premiere of her son's new documentary film, I Am Bolt. In European club football, nearly every English Premier League club was in action Monday as part of the league's traditional Boxing Day slate. Reporter Loic Youth joins us now with a wrap-up of the matches.
A belated Merry Christmas to you all and sporty greetings once again from me, Loic Youth. Fresh from unwrapping gifts from Santa, we're gifted with more Premier League football as other leagues around Europe won't be back in action till the new year. It is as you were at the top, with Chelsea storming to a 3-0 win at home to Bournemouth. The Blues, without suspended Diego Costa, cruised, with Pedro striking a sumptuous shot in the first half. He grabbed his second after a Hazard penalty to secure Chelsea's 12th win on the trot. It's looking good for Conte in his first season. Manchester City jumped up to second with a battling 3-0 win at Hull. The scoreline is a lot more flattering as City weathered the second half storm and the clearance off the line before a silly penalty gifted them a chance, which Yaya Touré took with a plump. It was one-way traffic from there on as the Tigers were cut out chasing an equalizer. Iheanacho came off the bench to register the second, and a late on goal wrapped up the result. It's 3 wins on the bounce for City following no wins in 6, so good form for Pep's men, and they can look forward to Sergio Aguero returning next time out after serving his 4-game ban. For Hull City, however, the performances are there, but no goals to show for it. They stay right at relegation in 20th. Arsenal needed a result to stay in touch with the top as they hosted West Brom. Toni Pulis is a somewhat connoisseur when it comes to unsettling Wenger's teams, and from the get-go, the Baggies set out to frustrate the Gunners. It was Giroud's first start in the Premier League for Arsenal, and his towering header made the difference in the 86th minute. Ben Foster pulled off 10 saves, with Wenger's men enjoying over 70% of the ball. But when it looked like they would drop 2 points, Mesut Ozil floated in a brilliant cross, which the Frenchman attacked with purpose, grabbing his 6th of the season. Incidentally, Ozil assisted Giroud in his first appearance in a Gunner shirt, and in his 100th appearance, he assisted the Frenchman again. Nice that, isn't it? We go to Old Trafford next, where David Moyes came back to his old club with Sunderland in the relegation zone. The Red Devils have found their mojo in recent times and broke the deadlock through Daily Blind. Jordan Pickford in Sunderland's goal has been a bright spark for the Black Cats with his heroics, but he could do nothing to stop the Dutchman's low drive midway through the first half. They carried their dominance into the second half, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic grabbed the second, netting his 12th of the season and his 50th club goal of the calendar year. How impressive is that for the 35-year-old? Only Messi has more club goals this year at 51. However, it's Ibra's second assist of the game, which provided a moment of magic for substitute Henrik Mkhitaryan. The big Swede swung in across from the right, and though Mkhitaryan was offside, his scorpion backheel guided the ball in the far corner of the goal. Absolutely nothing the keeper could do about it, and it was really something of dreams at the Theatre of Dreams, and definitely a contender for goal of the year. Fabio Borini got a quality consolation hitting a half volley that left De Gea flat-footed, but that defeat keeps Sunderland in 18th and 2 points from safety, while Mourinho will have to contend with 6th for now. At the home of the champions, Leicester, who hosted Ronald Koeman's Everton. He went from bad to worse for Ranieri's men as they lost 2-0 to goals from Kevin Morales and Romelu Lukaku, currently on fire. So Leicester, who were in the upper echelons at this time last year, are now in 16th place, 3 points above Sunderland. That'll defense going all wrong. But Bradley is finding life extremely tough in the Premier League as his Swansea side shipped 4 goals at home. That is now 26 goals they've conceded in their last 8 games. And this 4-1 reverse keeps them deep in the danger zone. For the Hammers, it is 4 unbeaten and they are up to 11th with goals from Ayu, Reed, Antonio and Carroll. Burnley hosted Middlesbrough in the side's first ever meeting in the Premier League, and it is Andre Gray's brilliant volley that separated the side. A Route 1 ball from keeper Boruch was headed down by Volks before Gray walked onto the ball and thrashed an unstoppable shot in the bottom corner to keep all 3 points at Turf Moor. At Watford, Crystal Palace, the visitors. Sam Allardyce is back in management following his England dismissal, and Johan Cabaye got his Eagles tenure off to a good start with the opening goal. However, Watford got a penalty, and Troy Deeney was not to be denied his 100th goal in a Watford jersey, the captain becoming the 5th player in the team's history to achieve that feat. Liverpool host Stoke City later today, while Spurs travel to Southampton tomorrow, so more football to tune into as we see out a 2016 where Chelsea and Leicester have traded places and fortunes once again. Other leagues get the luxury of a winter break. Spain's La Liga resumes on January the 6th, the Italian Serie A returns the following day, while the German Bundesliga isn't back till the 20th, so lots to look forward to in the new year. Best wishes from me, Loic Youth, and back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Loic. Loic mentioned Tuesday's English Premier League match between Liverpool and Stoke at Anfield. Heading into the match, the Reds of Liverpool are in third place overall with 37 points from 17 matches. They're 2 points behind second place Manchester City. So a victory at home Tuesday will move them ahead of Man City and 6 points behind front-running Chelsea. The Potters of Stoke City, meanwhile, are currently in 12th place with 21 points from 17 matches. Joining us now from New York is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Tuesday and sporty seasonal greetings, Andrew.
Sporty seasonal greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you. Even though I am up here in New York, at least we can talk over the phone.
Welcome back to the show, Andrew. What is trending in New York and elsewhere?
Well, you said at the introduction there that the seasonal greetings, and so let's stick with a seasonal theme. And I know we like when we do these theme kind of segments. So let's talk about giving and receiving. Of course, it's the holiday season. People are giving and receiving gifts. And so we'll start in Dublin, Ireland, where on the streets of Dublin the other night, there are two young men who are giving one of their idols, UFC fighter Conor McGregor, a bit of mocking ridicule. They're kind of play fighting on the street in Dublin. Their friend is filming it. They're in their Christmas sweaters, and they're making a little fun of Conor McGregor, kind of acting out and play fighting as though he would. So giving a little guff to Conor McGregor. But then they receive the surprise of their life in this viral video, because as they're play fighting, a black SUV pulls up and rolls down the window, and who is inside? None other than Conor McGregor. So he stops the fans. They go and they kind of look in the window of the SUV, and then all of a sudden they're just yelling and screaming because they realize who it is. It's their idol. So they give him a fist bump, and you see him drive away with his friend in the black SUV there. But that video making the rounds on social media, McGregor even tweeted it himself, retweeted it. So it's a really nice moment. Even though they were making a little fun, having a little fun at the expense of their idol, they got a really nice treat to receive the opportunity to meet him in a very unlikely fashion.
Andrew, I think with that Colin McGregor tidbit, you could say Irish eyes are smiling?
Absolutely. Definitely for those two fans that were fighting and the friend that was filming, I think they were smiling. They got a nice Christmas present. And a lot of people smiling on social media as the jokes started to roll in. They said that the play fighting they did, that was how you summon Colin McGregor. So that's or Conor McGregor, excuse me. So that's how, if you want to summon him, that's what you got to do. Another thing, you know, what an awesome Christmas present. Who would have thought that just being out on the streets, having fun with your friends, that you would see one of your sports heroes?
Great story there, Andrew. Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending on this Tuesday, Andrew?
Well, we've go from Conor McGregor to another big star, Carmelo Anthony, of course, star in the National Basketball Association for the New York Knicks. And he had a very nice thing that he did. He gave a very big gift to someone who's fighting a very courageous battle. And that's Jarell Lara, a 17-year-old who's fighting cancer, big basketball fan. Carmelo Anthony surprises him and his family in a viral video with a new car to honor his fight, his cancer fight. And that video of them getting that car, meeting Carmelo Anthony, just you can see the excitement in their faces in that viral video. So similar to the Conor McGregor video, but a little deeper meaning here with that cancer fight from this young man, Jarell Lara. Again, this is one of those moments that we see where athletes kind of go above and beyond to try to help fans or do something nice for fans. And it is recognized around social media. We saw a lot of people saying what a great thing it is, what a great all-star Carmelo Anthony is, not just on the court, but in life for doing this. And one comment that I was struck by, somebody wrote and they said, "I'm not a basketball fan, but I'm a big fan of you now." So even outside of the sports world, even if you're not a sports fan, to see someone taking their time and their money and their good fortune and trying to share that with others is a really touching thing, especially around the holidays. So that was a really nice gift that Carmelo was able to give, not just that car, but able to meet with that young man and give him a hug and give him some kind, encouraging words.
And we'll gift Carmelo Anthony with a Sunny Side of Sports salute in this Olympic year of 2016. As I mentioned on the show Monday, Andrew, Carmelo was one of the, I guess, elder statesmen on the USA's Olympic basketball team in Rio de Janeiro in August. But Melo did win his third consecutive Olympic gold medal. He also won gold at Beijing in 2008, London in 2012, and again in Rio in 2016. And who knows, Andrew, maybe we'll see him in Tokyo in 2020.
I think a lot of fans are hoping that that's the case. And it's like you said, for sure, he's received a lot of good fortune in the Olympics. And go for the four-peat in Tokyo. I know there's a lot of fans here in the New York area who would love to see that. So here's hoping that it can happen, fingers crossed.
Do you see Carmelo's image changing for the better, not just with that story you told, Andrew, but just based on his age? He's such a veteran now in the NBA.
I think so. I think you mentioned just now that the kind of the elder statesman. I think that's something that happens a lot of times in sports where as players get older, they're seen as more of that role, as more of a leader for the team. He has always been a tremendous player, and I think with age now and with the wisdom that brings, it adds a new element to his game and a new element to the skills that he brings to the court. So absolutely, I think it's had a positive impact, and I think certainly among fans here in New York, I think he's very much beloved by Knicks fans here in New York and around not just the U.S., but around the world.
Andrew, what else will you gift us with in terms of sporty social media trends?
Oh, I love it. I love the segue. That's fantastic. well, we talked about, I'll throw a segue back at you. I'll gift you this segue. We just talked about Carmelo Anthony's success at the Olympics. Well, there was another person who had great success at the Olympics this year, and that's Simone Biles, of course, a member of the U.S. women's gymnastics team. She won the all-around gold, and she was named yesterday the 2016 Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year. So she was gifted that honor for her amazing work in Rio de Janeiro, receiving 31 out of 59 votes. Another big Olympic name, American swimmer Katie Ledecky, got 20 votes. So she was right behind Simone Biles there. But lots of fans saying it's a well-deserved honor. Simone Biles is perhaps a once-in-the-generation athlete as far as gymnastics and as far as gymnastics on the Olympic stage. And so a lot of congratulations for her, a nice way for her to end the year to receive that honor. Now, the AP Male Athlete of the Year is going to be announced later today, so we can bring that to our listeners tomorrow. They have yet to make that announcement yet. But a lot of names cycling around here in the U.S. between members of the Chicago Cubs, like first baseman Chris Bryant, maybe LeBron James may make that list. So we'll have to see and report on that tomorrow.
Andrew Palcheski, thank you, Andrew, joining us from New York.
And
that wraps up the December 27th holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The promotion of labor rights is an integral part of United States foreign policy. U.S. Special Representative for International Labor Affairs Sarah Fox says supporting fundamental worker rights, such as freedom of association and the right to collective bargaining, are an important part of U.S. economic diplomacy.
Labor rights are human rights, but they're also economic rights. And workers being able to exercise these rights is very important to building economies in which prosperity and the benefits of growth are broadly shared. This, in turn, contributes to stability, to democracy, and to building the kinds of prosperous, peaceful societies in which everyone feels that they are part of the economy, that they have opportunity, which is what we promote overall. So it fits very well into many threads of our foreign policy agenda.
Special Representative Fox and her team at the U.S. State Department have worked closely with foreign governments and stakeholders to address worker rights in countries such as Bangladesh, where the Rana Plaza clothing factory collapse killed 1,137 people in 2013.
We came together, the U.S. government, with the European Union, with Canada, with the International Labor Organization, and with the government of Bangladesh on what we called a sustainability compact to help improve labor rights and worker safety and health in that sector. And so that's been a big focus of our work.
Members of the Sustainability Compact work with private sector stakeholders and the United Nations to fulfill short and long-term commitments related to respect for labor rights, structural integrity of buildings, occupational safety and health, and responsible business conduct. On-the-ground work has included safety inspections in some 4,000 factories. The group has also worked with the United Nations International Labor Organization and with the Bangladeshi government on reforming labor laws, developing mechanisms to facilitate union registration, and on investigation and prevention of unfair labor practices. The United States will continue to engage Bangladesh and other governments to improve worker rights around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou will take a look at some of the top health stories of 2016. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.